Welcome to the Hopeful Activist podcast from the Praxis Centre for Hope and Activism. We are all about exploring our role in God's mission to bring hope and transformation. Hi and welcome back, I'm Abby Thomas. Let's be honest, it's not been the easiest week for everyone, but here at the Hopeful Activists we're aiming to stay hopeful. So we're beginning a new series today called Starting Something New. We're going to be hearing some encouragements from people that it is possible to continue our activism even during a second lockdown as we've started here in the UK this week. We begin by speaking to Helen and Jared Hodgson from the charity Hope at Home. Helen and Jared Hodgson, welcome to the Hopeful Activist podcast.
Thank you.
It's really lovely to meet you over our computers, sadly, because we are on the first day of lockdown as we are recording. So you're in Worcestershire and I'm over in Bradford. Tell me a little bit about yourselves.
Well, we are married, obviously, and I'm going to be 50 next year, which I really can't believe. And we have three teenage boys.
Excellent. And a dog.
And a dog.
Yeah.
And a dog. Yeah, I heard the dog as we set up. And what about you, Helen?
I'm not as old as Jared. I'm not going
to tell my age. It's quite fun that you wanted to tell me your age, Jared.
Yeah. Obviously, I'm mum to these three teenage boys. One of them's at uni at the moment. And together we run a charity called Hope at Home.
And what's the ambition of Hope at Home?
We want to ensure that every survivor of modern slavery and human trafficking in the UK has a safe place to live. And we also want to see the church across the country, step up, be the kingdom of God in action, and bringing those that don't have homes into their homes.
So how does that work? And perhaps tell me a little bit of the journey you went on to set up Hope at Home.
It's been really challenging, really inspiring, faith building, developed a deeper dependency on God. I blame Helen because she prayed that I would be moved on from the job that I was in a fairly well-paid job for a big company for 18 years, and I was suddenly made redundant back in 2017. And I blame her in a good way because we used the funds from that to be able to set up Hope at Home as a charity and get things off the ground. And we really piloted how to run a hosting scheme in our own home and making lots of mistakes, learning how not to do it and also how to burn out whilst you're looking after people and really kind of figuring out the bits that we needed to add in and the ways to be able to look after our hosts that we now have lots of. We've seen lots of answers to prayer on the journey. We've felt very challenged and there's been tough moments on the journey, but we've loved seeing people's lives changed in front of us in our own home and the lives of others that we've worked with as well.
And how did you come across your first person that you began to host?
So the first lady that we hosted actually came to us via Citizens Advice Bureau because she was about to be evicted and had nowhere to live. So she came to live with us for a year, and she's the lady that we piloted the hosting scheme with. And then once we piloted it, that was when Jared was then made redundant, and we began to set up the charity and find hosts across the country to do the same thing.
And did you have any trepidation about welcoming this person in your home?
Yeah, there's always a worry because you don't know who that person is. You don't really know what it's going to be like, and you don't know how it's going to impact your family. So the night before, I'm usually in a little bit of a panic, but when they move in and you get to know them, it changes and they just become part of the family.
And tell me about some of the reasons that the people you work with find themselves homeless or vulnerable to homeless, or I think some of your guests have been sleeping in a tent.
Yeah, we did have two guests who were sleeping in a tent. Yeah, who obviously then they were moved in with hosts and they've now got their own flat, which is really lovely. But the people who we work with are all survivors of slavery and human trafficking in the UK. And often when they've been in a safe house, the move on options from that are very limited. So if they can't legally claim benefits or work, that leaves them destitute with no money and no way of earning money or claiming benefit. Many of them have quite poor English because they might not have had the opportunity to learn English. Many of them don't have any kind of support network or family or friends nearby. And some of the people who are referred to us are refused asylum seekers, so they are also destitute. So there's an awful lot of vulnerabilities kind of mixed up in there. We know that people who are homeless are targeted by traffickers. So as well as being at risk of homelessness, they're also at risk of being re-trafficked. And so that's the point really where we step in and our hosts step in and provide an amazing home for them.
Mm. And can you tell me about the scale of modern day slavery in the UK?
Yeah, so the Global Slavery Index estimates that there's 136,000 people in slavery at any one time in the UK. Last year, so 2019, around 10,000 people were identified as being victims and brought out of the situation that they were in. So we've got a long way to go in identifying people, but it is massive. It's around about one in every 500 people. So if you think about the population of your town and city, you can kind of work out how many people might be in slavery there.
And I know this isn't the aim of your charity, but if we are suspicious of people, that people are being enslaved, what should the average person do?
There's a helpline called the Modern Slavery Helpline, and I'm just getting the number for you. You can phone up and talk through your concerns, and they will then pass it on to the relevant people. I'm just getting the number.
We'll pop the number in the show notes as well.
Okay. 08000 121 700.
Brilliant, thank you. So you work with these people who've been rescued from trafficking or modern day slavery or have escaped themselves, and they then are placed in homes and given a family to care for them. We're going to hear now from one of your hosts, who's called Susie, who was very kind and shared her story. And we'll hear how exactly it's worked for them going through Hope at Home to host their first guest.
We have known about Hope at Home for just over a year, myself and my husband. He met Helen and Jared last year at New Wine and sort of came back just so inspired by what they're doing. And we felt it was something maybe we could do. So we contacted them, and that involved Jared coming out one evening to kind of check us out, check out where we lived and where a potential guest might stay, and to sort of find out a bit more about us and our motivations for doing it. And then we went through the online training. They do over two evenings with other potential hosts, the DBS checks and the references and so on. And then we were put on their waiting list. I think for us, it was just a really tangible way to live out Jesus's calling to just really love the vulnerable. I think for me, it was a massive challenge, actually, because Hope at Home's sort of heart for justice and to really prevent people who've already been in a really difficult situation and being exploited, potentially becoming homeless and so on, and perhaps even going back into that cycle of being trafficked and held as slaves. You know, it's easy for me, I think, to say, yeah, I really believe in the work they're doing. I'm really excited about it. It's relatively easy to sort of support them financially or to, you know, share their Facebook posts, tell people about them. But for me, it kind of came down to you so much into this. Do you really believe this, that you're willing to have somebody in your home? But actually, when we talked about it, prayed about it, it just really felt like the right thing to be doing. We've had our guests with us for about a month now. I have to say, even after going through all the process with Helen and Jared, I was still really nervous when that referral came through, and Helen gave us a few days to, you know, think about it together, whether this was the right timing. And even though we were on their books, for me, I was unsure. I was nervous, and I kind of thought of all the reasons perhaps why this was a bad time to be doing it. Our son had just started secondary school. I've just started a course, and I wasn't sure I could cope with any more change. And then my husband said, you know, Susie, you're seeing all the negatives. The positive is being able to provide somebody a home. And that is just an incredible thing we can offer. We've got a spare room, we've got capacity. And something in me just shifted. I think it was God just challenging me, you know, in that moment to say, come on, this is you having to be a bit sacrificial in your living. And from that sort of moment, I just thought, actually, this is the right thing to be doing. And actually, Hope at Home are incredibly supportive. They exist, you know, to match up guests with hosts, but they also then support the hosts, and the support really is there. So for me, it's been a real journey, actually, to get to that point of having our guests move in.
And tell me a bit about that. So you obviously, you're not going to go into details about your guest, but how were those first few days getting to know somebody in your home?
Well, it's really interesting, isn't it? Your expectations versus reality. One of my worries have been, you know, oh gosh, you know, I quite like my own space, and the thought of sharing it with someone who perhaps might be in the communal space all the time felt a bit scary. But actually, when our guest moved in, she spent the first weekend sleeping, most of the weekend, actually. You know, I'd baked a cake, we'd planned like loads of meals over the weekend with the family. I think it made us all realise, you know, where she'd come from, she hadn't felt safe, and she'd been able to move in here and just feel safe for the first time in ages. One of my things was kind of, how will the kids be with this? Our kids are 11, 9 and 5. And the younger two are girls, and they are particularly just want to spend time with her. And over the few weeks, it's really brought her out of her shell, actually. At first, she didn't really want to join us for meals and sit at the table, but she's now doing that all the time. And last week was half term, so the kids were around a lot. And there's been so much laughter in the house, and it's incredible how I think God's just using the kids to just bring her kind of peace and healing. And it's a really special thing to watch, actually. I think my favourite moment was still the day she moved in. She just looked in the room and she threw her arms around me and just said, thank you. And that moment I knew we were definitely doing the right thing.
Oh, I feel quite emotional listening to that. It's just amazing, really. It's just amazing to hear. Obviously, we've told our story a lot, but to hear from our hosts, and we are in contact with them a lot, so most of that stuff that she talked about, I know, but it's just so precious to see that what we've done is now being replicated. It's just amazing.
And obviously, this is all about those people that you are hosting. It's more about them than it is about the host, but you're understandably cautious about having too much media exposure for them. But we have got one story from one of your guests that we're just going to listen to now and hear about the impacts that it's had on them as well. This account is read by an actor.
My life before I moved here was really hard. It was a difficult time and a lot of bad things happened to me. I didn't have anyone to talk to or to listen to. I just stayed by myself in my flat all the time, not going out for 24 hours. I only came out when I had important appointments, and when I got back, I would just lock myself away. Before I moved to my host family's house, I felt very nervous. I lived with my host family for a year, and I've made a lot of good memories with them. They gave me love. They are very caring, and they listen to me when something happens. Once, I went out and saw something that scared me. When I came home, they saw from my face that I was scared. they came over and gave me a hug. They talk to me and they understand. These things didn't happen to me before. They love me. They always tell me, we love you. No one has ever told me that they love me before in all my life. When they say they love me, I come up to my room and I cry because I think about how much my life has changed since I moved here. Now I go out all the time and don't lock myself away, and I can deal with the things when I'm scared because the host family help me. Before I came to the host family, I tried to get help from so many places, but no one could help me. My host family helped me with everything. That's why they have given me a new life. The biggest thing I receive from them is love. But they give me more than love. They give me more than words can say.
So how do you feel when you think about that journey you went from that initial idea, well we could be hosts, to where you are now, where you are resourcing and providing spaces for people?
I feel flabbergasted and gobsmacked, I suppose, is the word, because we had this idea, this seed of an idea, and it has just grown, and I can see God's hand in it, and I can see that he's the one who's made it happen. It was a little bit like the boy who shared his lunch and then Jesus multiplied it. I think that's how it's been for us.
I still feel amazed, especially when I hear stories like the one that we've heard today. I also live in the future, so I think our job is not yet done. I think there's a lot of need, and we need more hosts so that we can place more guests.
Mm. So you're the first in our new series about starting something new. I feel like I should have a snappier title, but that's what we've gone for. What would you say, firstly, to people who would be perhaps interested in starting hosting people, but maybe have a sense of trepidation about it?
Yeah, I would say that we walk along that journey with people and we understand that it is a journey, but also to just make it clear that hosting is so simple, that there's no big expectations on hosts. It is just inviting someone into your home and your family. That's, I think, what the magic ingredient is, really, that it's so simple, but it shows so much love.
Mm. We've hosted people along our... We've been married 15 years now. We've had various people to live with us at several points. And one of the things that we've found is that finding a space to argue as husband and wife can be quite interesting. You might be having an argument in a communal space, and then you have to somehow stop that argument and escape to a private space. Have you had any interesting experiences like that?
We don't argue, do we? I think sometimes it can actually be helpful for the guests that we have living with us, because we've got three teenage boys, and they kind of, like normal teenage boys, argue and kind of rough each other up a little bit. But then we talk to them about forgiveness and making up, and for someone to see that and to witness that can be life transforming and life changing when they haven't seen that, when they've only seen the nasty side of it, and so that can be really, really helpful.
And also, talking about starting something new, you started Hope at Home from scratch. How has that journey been, and what advice would you give to somebody who might be thinking about acting on a dream they have, that they have from God, to bring about justice in some way?
Do it. My advice is do it. Don't wait. Don't wait for everything to be lined up. If you've got a seed of an idea, find people that you can talk to that will be dream encouragers and not dream snatchers. Find people that will stand alongside you and champion you and join in. Realize that it's going to sometimes be difficult, and keep track of what God said to you from the beginning, so you can go back to it and encourage yourself with it.
Mm. And can you tell me about a time when one of you has felt God speaking to you really clearly about your calling in this area?
Yeah, there's loads. We visited India as a family in 2014, as we thought that God was asking us to move there, but actually it turned out he wasn't. But the poverty that we witnessed, as expected, was it made a big impact on us. And when we came home, we spent quite a lot of time sobbing over Isaiah 58, which is about justice and about welcoming a stranger into your home and about really living out what it means to follow Jesus rather than just saying stuff, but really acting on it and living it out. And that was kind of the beginnings, really, of Hope at Home. And that was Isaiah 58 is our Hope at Home passage, because that's what it's based on.
What are your dreams? What are your hopes?
We would like that no survivor of modern slavery and human trafficking in the UK would ever have to sleep on the streets. That is a big ask. My guess would be that 800 to 1,000 people every year would come out with needing some form of accommodation. And we have 30 hosts, so we've got a long way to grow.
And we do take the Bible at its word, at God's word. And we know, because we've seen it, that God places the lonely in families. And I think for us, we believe that family isn't just nuclear family. So actually family can expand to those that God brings us. And so for some of our guests, they really, really are lonely. They've got nobody. And actually they join our hosts and they become part of a family. And that is what makes the difference in their lives.
If people want to find out more about becoming a host for Hope at Home, where would they go?
They can go to our website and they can look on our Facebook page or Twitter or Instagram. But we've also got a Zoom coming up on the 24th of November, which you can book in via Eventbrite. But it's also details of that are on our Facebook page. And that's just to explore hosting, no pressure on anyone, but people can just turn up and bring their questions to that one if they want to know more.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time, and we'll pop all the details in the show notes if you would like to find out any more about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.